Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad that you are joining us today for this great time together in the Word and great music and always a wonderful chat with our radio team. And Nan, you are right here beside me.
Yes.
And Nathan will be calling in pretty soon. And isn't it a joy to be able to minister on the air like this week after week?
It always is.
Always a joy. Is, isn't it?
It's always a joy.
Yeah, it really is. And it's just fun to be able to talk about the Lord with, you know, with it, just talk and about His goodness, His faithfulness, His love to us, the answers to prayer, the way that He's moving in our lives, teaching the Word, all of it. It's just so fulfilling and exciting to me.
It is. I was just sitting there thinking, you know, we have, I believe, either 8 or 9 radio
yes.
team members working that do this, and we all just really enjoy. You were talking about being a joy. It is a joy, because it wouldn't a joy not any of us would spend 2 hours on a Sunday afternoon
right
doing this, but we enjoy doing it because the Word of God is getting out to people and people's spirits are being uplifted.
Yes.
People being healed. There's been prophetic words
of
healing, and then we hear later.
It's going to happen again today.
Oh, praise God.
I'll tell you, the healing anointing is going to flow today, but good point. Go ahead.
No, but it is, you know, we say it's a joy. It really is a joy.
It is a joy. You know, we look forward to it.
There's many other things people could be doing, but they dedicate this time
right.
to be here for the radio listeners or the people who listen to this at a later time on the website,
right?
On our church website, just because it is a joy to do it.
It is
a joy. I mean, God is just... To see God moving, I mean, it's so cool, like, you know, to hear answers to prayers that people have sent in is awesome.
Oh, it is. And our prayer line, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, gets a lot of requests from different places all over the United States and in other parts of the world sometimes, too. And it's beginning to be more and more widespreadly known.
Right.
Widespreadly? I'm not sure that's a word there, Nan. But, I mean, people are beginning to hear about our prayer chain. And this past week, with all the bad weather in
right.
Georgia, North Carolina, there were a lot of requests that came in for
there
prayer.
There were a lot.
Yeah. But that's great, because that's what we do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
God's in the answering prayer business. That's
right.
What He does. And, you know, people's faith are increased as they hear it. And that is, this word is getting out that, you know, you make prayer requests to Beacon Hope Ministries prayer line and answers are coming.
Exactly.
And, you know, the excitement builds when you yourself have a need.
Absolutely.
That you know that you can submit that prayer request to a line, to an organization, to a church, as in our
right.
case, our prayer team, and the answers are happening.
Absolutely.
Are happening.
They're happening. We are based here in Clearwater, Florida, but we have... leaders that are a part of this ministry that are in other parts of the United States, in particular, Texas, Ohio, Indiana, Georgia. There are others that are, you know, a part of this ministry, and they have a sphere of friends and influence. And
right.
so that's where all these requests come in. And this show is also live now in, I think it's 8 states. So we have, besides being on the internet, which is www.tantalk1340.com, if you are listening on the radio in one of those states or here in the Tampa Bay area, you can actually, if you want to, go over to the internet and actually see us here in the studio. And that's www.tantalk1340.com. So anyway, it's all good, and it's exciting to be a part of what God is doing. And technology has helped so much. When we started the show in 07, which so we're now in our sixth year, we didn't have the capabilities that we do now of being able to put the show every Sunday when we're done. We can put it on our website. It actually usually doesn't get up there till Monday, but that is an exciting benefit, don't you think, Nana?
Oh,
the technology has made it so these shows stay up on our website. We've got a couple years worth up there.
Well, like you shared this morning that someone had contacted you and said, every night I listen to one of the shows.
Right.
You know, and I mean, that is so cool. People can listen to it when it works in best with their schedule.
Sure.
You know, they may not be available to be able to listen to it Sundays from 3 to 5 because
right.
of their activities or their
right.
work schedules or whatever. But they can always, in the middle of the night, if they can't sleep or, you know, at a scheduled time for them, listen to it. I mean, how great is that? You're having a lesson today, and someone may be listening to it 6 months from now.
Absolutely. You know? The power of the technology.
The technology is great.
It's great. And so we thank God for that ability. So any right. of you out there, the shows get up on our website, usually by Monday sometime. Our webmaster gets them up each week, and they stay up there. So there's tons of them you can go and listen to and learn the word. It can be like a mini Bible school for you.
Right.
You
oh,
know?
Most definitely.
You know, learning the word. So we're excited about today's show. It's on healing, and it is on healing for your body, healing for your emotions. It's going to be a great show, and we've got some amazing music. You are going to love this set of music today. It's really cool. The first song is going to be by a group called Mike's Chair, and that's the name of the group, believe it or not. And the song is entitled Hallelujah. Here we go.
Ever change, you bring my soul alive.
Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Yes, God is doing a great work. Praise God. Setting our hearts on fire for Him, and we're excited about that and excited about what God is doing in our lives. What a blessing. Nathan, are you on with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, did we have a great service this morning or what?
Oh, yes, we did.
We are in a new location. I haven't mentioned that. We have to find a bigger place, so we are temporarily in the Executive Inn now in Clearwater, right on Almerton, a couple doors down from where we were, but we've gone to the hotel to meet for a few weeks until we can get a new place. And so we are at 3580 Almerton Road in the Executive Inn and in the golf room, and that's where we're meeting. So it was our first time in our new digs, Nathan, and it went pretty well, don't you think?
I think it went very well.
I think so, too. I really do. So we're talking today about healing, and you have recently had a reason to need God's healing in your life, Nathan Burton.
Yes, I have. And all I can say is that God is so good.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to talk about that a little bit in a minute, as just the times that God has healed you. But let's start out. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Verse 27, if you have your Bible, let's talk a little bit about what the Word says about healing, and then Nathan and Nan will come in here and talk more. Matthew 9:27. As Jesus left the house, he was followed by two blind men, crying out, "Mercy, Son of David, mercy on us." When Jesus got home, the blind men went in with him. Okay, so now they're following him because they know that they can be healed. They follow Jesus all the way to his home. And Jesus says to them, "Do you really believe I can do this?" And they said, "Why, yes, Master." We're going to talk about that, Nathan. Let's look at the next line, and then I'll come to you, Nathan. He touched their eyes and said, "Become what you believe." Whoa, it happened, they saw. They saw. Then Jesus became very stern. Don't let a soul know what has happened. They were hardly out of the door, though, before they started bubbling it to everybody they met. And it's not that Jesus didn't want people to know that he had healed them. He was trying to kind of stay undercover for a while so he could get more work done for the kingdom. You know, Nathan? So,
yeah.
I think this is good. Do you really believe I can do this? Why is that so significant, Nathan?
I think because the healing is directly connected with your belief.
Oh, it is. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You know, when we reach out to Jesus to heal us, we really need to believe that he can do it.
Amen.
That he's capable of healing us. And if we believe that he is capable of healing us, our belief in that capability releases that healing.
Woo! Amen. It's faith. Yeah. It's belief in what the Word says. And faith that moves mountains is always based in God's promises.
Yes.
If you want an answer to your prayer, you gotta hang your hat on one of God's promises.
That's right. And God promises to heal us in his word.
Amen. Amen. Oh, I'm coming back to you to talk to you about that in a minute. Nan, talk to me about this. Did you grow up in a church, Nan, where people were healed, where they believed?
Yes.
For healing?
Yes. Okay. I grew up in a church where they would anoint with oil and pray over them.
Which we do too. Which what? Right. James 5:16-18, you know, call for the elders of the church, ask them to anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. And so you grew up that way.
Yes,
that
I
type
did.
Of thing. So it's not unusual to believe that God can heal our bodies.
No, not at all. I mean, I was raised in that.
Okay.
I've seen that happen.
Have you seen people that don't believe that?
Yes, I
tons.
Have.
Right?
A few.
Right? Because it is a little drastic. Well, it is a little strange, I guess, to some people.
It's a real contemporary way of looking at things. You know, because we think, I have to go to the doctor. That's okay, going to the doctor. That's
sure.
not what we're saying here.
No.
You know, but that, you know, the doctor can provide things to help with your comfort level and things.
Right.
But Jesus can provide total healing in
He's
those situations.
Amen. Talk to us, Nathan.
Well, I know that this last time I was in the hospital.
Which was just 2 weeks ago, so we're so glad you're back with us.
Yes, we are. Welcome back, Nathan.
I am so glad. But there was a night where I was laying there, and all I could do was just tell Jesus over and over, "I trust you, Jesus.
Amen.
I trust you."
Amen.
And in doing that, there came such peace.
Woo!
Such a peace flowed over my body.
Okay.
And, you know, as I could trust him to take care of me throughout the situation I was going through. And, I mean, the doctors had told me that I was going to have to receive blood.
Right.
And that was a frightening aspect to me.
Right. Transfusions.
I've never received blood before.
Oh, you never had? That was your first time?
Never, ever
okay.
have. And for them to tell me that, I knew it was a desperate situation.
Well, your hemoglobin level was dangerously low,
really
my brother.
Really
yeah.
And it was frighteningly low, as
right.
a matter of fact.
Right.
And so I was just telling Jesus over and over again, I trust you.
Yes.
I trust you. And, you know, I don't even know that in my spirit that I really trusted him. I don't even know that. But I know that that was my confession.
Right. And that's half the battle or three quarters of the battle to confess out of your mouth, because the more you say it, then, yes, the more you do believe it, right?
Exactly. Then I started to believe it. And as I started to believe it, peace swept over me.
Woo, praise God.
Yes, yes, yes. I cannot attest to how wonderful that was for me, because without that, I don't know what the night would have been like.
Okay, because you were very, very ill. I think it's very interesting here, Nathan, in verse 29 of Matthew 9, that Jesus touches their eyes, and we know he lays hands on people. We do that. We had a huge healing service this morning at Beacon of Hope, and a lot of people were healed. He touched their eyes and said, become what you believe.
Yes.
Become what you believe. In other words, you believe you can be healed, then become healed. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
You believe that you're going to stay sick and miserable and emotionally a wreck. you believe that you're going to never, ever have a miracle transformation in your life where you change, start thinking different, start behaving differently. If you think that, that's what you're going to become. You're going to
yep.
stay that way. Talk to me about this, Nathan. Become
well,
what you believe.
I believed that he would heal me.
Amen.
I believed the word of God. And in his word, he promises, if we ask, we shall receive.
Amen.
And I asked, and I received. And I just praise God for it, because his peace just flooded my body. And, you know, I was able to rest that night and receive the blood and that, you know, and receive healing, actually. From
yes.
I will experience.
Right.
Because within the next couple of days, they released him from the hospital.
Right. It did the work that it needed to do, and then they figured out what was going on with you, and that's praise God. Nan wants
well,
to comment
one thing
here, Nathan.
I wanted to comment about you, Nathan. Actually, one of the times when I was by to see him, it was still during the period that he was not permitted to eat or drink anything. Yet they were they had IVs going in.
For days.
For days. You know,
I didn't eat for almost 6 days.
Yeah, it was quite a period. But, you know, I mean, I hear him sharing is that he was just, you know, praising God right there in his own weakness.
Yes.
In his
yep.
own weakness.
Yes.
You know, I was through there and he was, you know, so just weak. I felt badly for him, of course, because I love Nathan very much. But yet in his own weakness, he was still praising God. He said, Jesus, he was calling out to his Jesus.
And that's what we have to do. We have got right. to praise God in the midst of the storm, you know, not just when it's all over and everything's fine. Nathan, address that with me, will you?
Mm. No. I mean, I think it's important to praise God for the outcome before we see it.
Right. Amen. Amen.
You know, that we trust God is good. God is in my corner.
Yes. Yes.
He's for me, no matter if the world is against me. And, you know, no matter if Satan is against me or any of Satan's attacks are against me, God is for me. And who can be against me?
That's right.
God is for me.
Amen. That's Romans 8. Yes.
And I just believe that God is for me.
Right.
In whatever circumstance I find myself in, God is for me. And
that's
if
huge.
God is for me, that means health is for me. Because
Amen.
Jesus is for my sickness. In his body on a tree.
Yes.
And so therefore, I don't have to bear it.
Right.
He bore it for me.
He already did.
That's right. So I lay it on Jesus' back and just,
yes,
you know, receive the healing that's for me, that he bought for me.
And we've got to change our mindset, I think, Nathan, to believing that what the Bible says is true about our given situation, whatever that might be. It might be that somebody out there today needs emotional healing. You've got all kinds of hurts and old tapes that play in your head and old scenarios. God can heal you from those things, too.
Yes.
It's not just a blood disorder or a stomach problem or a colon issue or a headache or a knee ache. It's also emotional.
Whatever you need.
Nathan, you know the old song, we've done it many times at the end of the service, you play the piano, "All things are possible, only believe." Could you sing that? Would you just haul off and sing that right now?
Sure. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Amen.
Only believe.
Praise God.
Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Oh, I love it. Would you do that again with "I choose to believe"? Would you do that? Go ahead.
I choose to believe. I choose to believe. All things are possible. I choose to believe. I choose to believe. I choose to believe. All things are possible. I choose to believe.
Oh, praise God. Woo! Nan and I are getting blessed in here listening to you sing, Nathan.
We're having a blast.
So that's what it comes down to. Become what you believe. What do you believe? Do you believe that you're always going to stay the same way you've always been?
No.
Are you always going to be bound up emotionally by the hurts of 20 years ago or 30 years ago or even last week? Or are you going to be, or last night, are you going to be free? Are you, can become what you believe? Nan, talk to us.
What I just thought about while Nathan was singing, that there may be some people who are like, but you don't know what I'm going through.
Right.
You don't know what's happening with me. How can I believe? And maybe they need a scripture or two.
Right.
Well, I was going to let them know they can write in to Pastor S. Beacon of Hope Ministries, IES.com.
Right.
And I've done that with you before. I want a scripture. I'd shoot you an email or something.
Sure.
You send that scripture. So if there's someone that needs to increase their faith by a specific word from the Lord in the Bible, scripture, they can write into you, and you, Lord, will lead you into tell them to what to send them, and that could minister to them and help to increase their faith. They can say, "I do believe."
Amen. And you know what? We've got the internet up right now in front of you, and if you have a question or comment anytime during the show, you can write pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and it comes right here to our table in the studio. Let's go down to verse 35 of Matthew 9. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places. He reported kingdom news. I think those are praise reports. You know how God's answering. He calls them kingdom news. We call them praise reports, right? And healed their diseased bodies. Now listen to this. This is where I wanted to get to. Jesus went everywhere, healed their diseased bodies, and healed their bruised and hurt lives.
Yes.
And our slogan for Beacon of Hope has been, since we began in 2001, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. So many people are out there hurting. They are beat up. They are thinking there's no hope, and they're never going to change, and they're never going to become free of the junk of the past. Nathan, what do you have to say to that?
I'm free.
Amen. Okay.
And there's been a lot of junk in my past.
Join the club. Everybody, I think, can relate to that in some way, some form.
Oh, there's been a lot of junk in my past. And,
a lot of
and
hurts.
There's been a lot of times where I didn't feel like I could be free from it.
Right.
And praise God, I am free. Amen. I am free.
Free and free indeed.
Indeed. Amen.
So what I love about this is that when Jesus looks out over the crowds, his heart broke. That's what it says in the Message Bible. I think in the New American Standard and King James, it said his heart was filled with compassion. Is that right?
Which verse was that, Pastor?
It's about 35? Verse 36 or 7.
It just said, "But he was moved with compassion."
Moved yes. with compassion. Okay. Compassion means a sympathetic consciousness of another person's distress, plus the desire to alleviate it. Now, that may sound like a whole lot of words. Let me break it down into something easy. Jesus felt their pain, and he wanted to do something about it. That's yes. compassion. Okay?
Amen.
Nathan, I know there have been times you and I, we've been ministering together in song or whatever, and we feel such compassion comes over us for maybe a certain person, or several people, and we desire to, like today that happened in the service, we desire to do something about that.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't want people to stay in their same crud and their same illness or their same hurt and pain and rejection. We want them to be free. Talk to me.
Amen.
Talk to me about that.
Oh, I mean, there are many times, like when we're ministering and the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, And the Spirit reveals to us the pain,
right,
or the struggle that someone or some bodies are going through,
right.
And in revealing that to us, I believe He puts the compassion inside of us to want to do something about it.
Yes, I believe He does.
And He wouldn't reveal it to us unless He wanted us to do something about it.
Oh, amen.
And the revelation is also the answer.
Yes.
You know, and what he shows us the answer also, that we need to be praying for that person.
Amen.
Or lay hands on them.
We can't just ignore them. We can't just say, oh, well, that's too bad. One of our dear people's grandson has had a bad diagnosis this week. And I don't know about y'all, but I could just, and she did come up and receive ministry today. And we are standing together against that bad diagnosis for that grandson. And we are believing God. But didn't your heart, Nathan, just go out to her when we were ministering this morning?
Yes. I mean, I think I can understand the passage where Jesus' heart broke.
Right. Yes.
Because when you think of your grandson in that predicament, in that situation,
right.
and you feel helpless.
Right.
You feel helpless. You feel hopeless.
Right.
And in that situation, your heart breaks.
Absolutely. We prayed
and
for...
So therefore, we have God. We have Jesus.
Amen.
To deal in that situation. And we don't have to feel helpless. We don't have to feel hopeless.
Amen.
But we can have hope.
We can reach out and hope and believe. But I love this about Jesus. It shows how he felt when he was ministering. He didn't come to this planet and be arrogant and not care about our needs and everything about us. It says he taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. Or in what Nan read from the King James, his heart was moved with compassion. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. Nan, talk to me about harvest hands and who are these and what do we need to be praying about?
We need to be praying about the needs of the people.
Right.
Harvest hands are those who labor in the kingdom of the Lord. And that, you know, it's not just a pastor teacher or a musician or a singer that is harvest hands. It's all of us are harvest hands. And praying for people and asking God to reveal things to you, and then you're moved with compassion
right.
on someone. He will reveal to you what you need to do, maybe to minister right. to that person that you're wanting to help, and he can lead you what you can do to try to help.
So like God,
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Harvest hands, Nathan.
Harvest hands are so few.
There are so few. There are so few in this day and age.
There are so few people that feel like they can do something.
Right.
You know, the enemy would try to deceive us and tell us that we're helpless. We can't do anything about other people's situations.
Right.
And one of the strongest things we can do about other people's situations is pray.
Absolutely, yes.
And Satan tries to disguise that as one of the weakest things we can do. Is pray. Well, at least I can pray for you.
Right.
At least I can pray about your situation. Well,
It is the most important thing we can do, actually, to tell you the truth. Nan wants to comment here.
I was just reminded of flashback from 20 years ago. I can't believe it. But there was a time when I can remember very specifically, I was still married at the time and we were still together in the same home. And I remember I was trying to pray and he was bothering me, my husband. So I literally went to another room to get away from him just so that I could pray, knelt down where I was and tried to pray. And he followed me into the room. And he was interfering with me being able to pray. And I think there's, you know, then I had to come up with more divisive ways how to do this, pray in the car, pray, you know, wherever, you know,
right.
At other times. And I think that, you know, sometimes people do have interference in their life, you know, but prayer is the most powerful thing you can do. And that's why Satan wants to keep you from praying, because, it, you know, things happen when you pray.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I would encourage anyone who deals with a adversarial situation like that, you know, keep on praying, keep on, you know, figuring out how that you can do that without being, you know, have that opposition coming against you. Because it can really wreak havoc with your emotional well-being, you know, when you're trying simply to pray to God and, you know, someone's badgering you, basically.
Oh, absolutely. And because the devil doesn't want us to pray.
Right.
And so, you know, that's why we pray all the more. Because, I mean, we know that there is power in prayer. And, you know, Jesus prayed for all these that came to him, and he ministered to them. He didn't ignore their needs. He prayed for them. He ministered to them. And he says right here specifically in his words at the end of Matthew chapter 9, pray for harvest hands. Nathan, we have got to do this more, I believe, with all my heart. We've got to be in intercession on our knees in prayer and say, God, send in more laborers into your harvest.
Yes, yes, indeed. Because there are people that are willing if they know they can.
Right. And a lot of times they don't know they can.
That's exactly right.
You know, Jesus said, speak to the mountain and it's going to be moved. You know, in other words, right. Declare, you know, declare truth to that situation. You know,
you were making some declarations this morning.
I was.
You know, three different. Well, there was other prayers going on, but I remember three specific different situations. You said someone come grab my hand and you literally prayed a declaration over the situation that was happening for them.
Right. And that's what we have to do. We have to be bold and declare what God's will is, what God's desire is. We know this, and this is a bold statement. So if you're listening out there and have a pen and a paper, you need to write this down. God's desire is that you be healed. That's his desire. That is a absolute truth in the Word of God.
It's a fact about God.
Right. It's not ever... God does not send sickness. God, there is no sickness in heaven. Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done in heaven on earth as it is in heaven." Okay, is there any sickness in heaven?
No.
None. Both of my parents are up there now, and they're healed and whole. And they were both very ill when they went to heaven, and immediately they got their new bodies, and they are healed and whole. There is no sickness in heaven. My mother is not walking around heaven still with Alzheimer's disease.
All right.
She is not. She remembers my dad. She remembers everyone, and she is rejoicing around the throne. She is not walking around with Alzheimer's. Dad is not walking around with leukemia. Okay? They are healed and whole because there is no sickness in heaven. Therefore, if there's no sickness in heaven, we have to get to a place where we don't tolerate it either, where we know what God's word says. Talk to me about that, Nathan, and then you, Nan.
Well, Jesus prayed it. And I believe that Jesus' prayers get answered.
Amen.
You know,
there you go.
Said, you know, and let it be on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes, yes.
And I believe that when he prayed that prayer, he wasn't praying in vain.
Right.
And so I believe the time is coming when things on earth will be as they are in heaven.
Amen.
Because Jesus prayed it.
And Nathan, he wants that for us now. Because yes. He said, on earth as it is in heaven. That's an open door to allowing us to walk in the promises of God and to appropriate the blessings that are in heaven. Nan, talk to me about this. We don't have to walk around sick and hurting and crying and miserable the rest of our lives.
But what if I like to, all the tension I get when I'm sick?
Well, then you're going to just keep on being sick, probably.
I'm telling you. I mean, there's some people who don't have the faith to believe that they can be healed, which is why you could provide them scriptures of encouragement that they can. But, you know, yes, I have been around church for a long time. And, yes, I have seen people who didn't seem like they really wanted to be healed. They liked all the tension that they gathered, you know, are you feeling better today? How are you doing? You know, and we're talking about, you know, serious illness situations going on that they wouldn't necessarily go up to get prayed for because they like the attention they drew. And I think there's some people out there who like that.
Right. You got to get to a point where you realize,
we're just sick and tired of being sick and
tired. There you go.
There you go. Say that again, Nathan.
Well, you got to get to the place where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
That's right. And that it's no longer fun and it's not an attention getting mechanism. You know, to me, I settled that a long time ago. I would much rather get attention from being healthy, you know, and like, wow, look at me. I am healthy. I'm strong for my age. You know, I'm walking in God's health and healing. That's what we need to be walking in.
Yeah, I'm someone very dear to my heart. I've watched for many, many, many years, and I'm absolutely convinced this individual has clinical depression, which they won't hear of going to a doctor for getting anything like that. And I watched the manipulative behavior. Of very passive-aggressive behavior.
There you go.
And, you know, she manages to kind of get what she wants to go around her because, you know, I was in their home the other day, and I was getting ready to do something. Well, why'd you wait to do it right now? And I explained why. And I was getting ready to serve dinner. I looked and said, well, just go ahead. My normal reaction would have been to set back down.
Right.
But what I did was, okay.
Right.
And I went back and changed clothes, which is all I was wanting to do, and then came back to dinner, you know. But it's just, they just like the control sometimes of the attention around them and eat it up. And it's really kind of sad.
It is sad.
It's sad to live like that.
It's so much better to walk around healed and whole than to be having a pity party because I'm sick and not feeling good, you know?
I don't want to go to that pity party. Do you?
No, I don't. Okay. No.
No, me either. He told us to be full of joy.
Right. Amen.
And, you know, you'd much rather be around a happy person, a person that's full of joy, than a miserable, mean, upset, bitter person.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, if I stood up this morning at church and said, you know, guys, I've heard that Jesus can heal, but, you know, I've never seen much of it. And I don't know if it really works today. And maybe God wants us sick.
Whose fault is that?
But I mean, really, Nathan, would people have come up to at the end of the service and believed they could be healed if I stood there with that kind of negativity? But yet that is in pulpits around the United States. There are so many people who are not sure that Jesus wants to heal us of our broken hearts and our, you know, bruises and all of that, plus our physical problems. It is common that people just aren't sure. Well, I don't know if he wants to heal me, you know. I said this morning, I'm going to say it again. A lot of people believe that God can heal them, but very few people believe he will.
Yes, God can heal, but not me.
Right. Okay. And we got to you know,
you got to deal with that first.
Yeah, we got to deal with that first. Thank you for helping me say that. We got to deal with that and make sure that within our own hearts and our own minds, we've settled it that God can and He will.
And will.
And wants to.
And
you
wants
know,
to.
So, exactly. Yeah, I mean, He wants to. He really wants to. Nathan wants, or Nan wants to say, you both, their names start with N today.
N-A-N.
Yes, Nan. I'm mixing you two up. And you two look so much alike.
We do look alike.
And, and Nathan's my triplet sibling. He and I and Yvette down in Fort Myers. And you two are actually both African-American, but we all are triplets, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, all right. Okay, go ahead. Nan wants to comment here.
What I was going
to
say, some people who may have some sort of psychological issues.
Right, sure.
Depression, bipolar, ADA, all, right. Whatever. What happens, I think, sometimes that becomes so much a part of them that they don't know how to separate that, you know, simply something is chemically going wrong with their neurotransmitters or whatever that's happening.
Right.
That can be treated. It is treatable. But it becomes so much the behavior from those type of illnesses become so much a part of the person. Sometimes, you know, do they really want to be healed of it? Because there again, that's become so much a part of them. They don't know how they're going to act without that.
Without it.
You know, almost they consider it a friend, but not really a friend, but just part of them.
Part of them.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And fear takes over a lot of times. And the devil does not want us healed, guys.
No.
I love Acts 10:38, and then we're going to go to the next song here. Acts 10:38, how Jesus went about healing all who were doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Jesus didn't say, oh, you're oppressed by the devil. Well, too bad. Just keep that. Or, you know, he healed all who were oppressed by the devil. We are going to do this song by Mercy Me. We've done it again recently, and it is just so powerful. Mercy Me, the hurt and the healer.
Even though part of me has died, It's the moment when humanity is overcome by majesty, when grace is ushered in for good, and all our scars are understood, when mercy takes its rightful place, and all these questions fade away, when out of a weakness we must bow, and hear you say it's over now. I'm alive, and even though part of me has died, you take this heart and breathe it back to life.
Great song. Nan, talk to us.
Well, I just want to reflect back on what you were talking about, Harvest Hands.
Yes.
And, you know, and the Lord mentioning Harvest Hands. I have a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and some of the references that they had in here was prayer enjoined, God's messengers, and spiritual labors. And I thought about God's messengers. You know, sometimes people say, well, I can't sing, you know, I'm not a teacher. I'm shy when I get in front of a lot of people. But yet they can be God's messengers, carrying the message. What, you know, they can carry the message of how God has healed them.
Amen.
To someone who is ill.
Amen.
Or situations that God has seen them through. They can be God's messengers right where they are, right where they're planted on the face of this earth. The sphere of people they have around them, they can reach out and be God's messengers to. They can reach people that you can't reach because you don't know them.
Personal testimony of God's healing touch. Nathan, when you were in the hospital, there were some of those nurses and you know, people that were working in there. I was in there one day when you were, you know, you were really talking there about what God was doing. And don't you find that is such great advertising for God when we can just talk about how he heals our bodies, you know, and our minds and our emotions and our past hurts, you know?
When we can demonstrate to others how God moves in our lives, it is wonderful advertising for God.
Yes, it is. It is.
I mean, people can hear from people how God moves. It talks to them. They'll listen to that before they'll listen to anything else.
Absolutely.
You know, there may be some people listening who are like, well, I don't really know if I can do that. I'm kind of shy. The scripture just came to mind was, I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
Who strengthens me.
Amen.
And they can pray that and start believing that.
Amen. And you know, it's amazing when you start the day with just a simple little, God, I will do what you want me to do today. I'll be what you want me to be. Put whoever you put in my path, if you open the door, I will talk about you, or I will talk about what you're doing in my life. It's amazing. God does open the doors and brings people into your path.
You know,
he sure does.
I start my work day at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I used to be a morning person, but I'm just not anymore. So I, you know, I'll be flying out of the bed, flying through the shower. But I spend that time in the shower,
right?
And while I'm getting ready, praying and praising him and saying, Lord, open up doors for me today.
Yes.
If you open them up, I'll go through them.
Right.
You know, whatever. But, you know, so it's, I don't have, you know, I used to would get up much earlier than that many years ago when I was younger, and would spend time in prayer and even reading the word. That was, and I can't seem to get cycled around to do that, to be honest with you.
But
I spend the time with God.
And it's your attitude. If your attitude is, God, use me today.
Right.
You know, if your attitude is, I will open my mouth when you give me that opportunity. I will. Talk to me about that, Nathan.
Well, God does give us plenty of opportunities during a day, in the course of a day, as we go about our disciplines, as we go about our errands, the things that we have planned to do today. God gives us several opportunities to reach into a person's lives.
Yes.
Sometimes it's just with a smile.
Right, that's exactly right. Or a hug, or a, hey, how are you today? Anyway,
or how are you
know,
you today, because there are so many people that feel like that you could care less about their day.
Right.
You could care less about them.
Right.
And when you reach out in that way, it warms their heart.
Absolutely. And I like what you said about sometimes it's just a smile. Go to Matthew chapter 8. Jesus came down, verse 1, from the mountain with the cheers of the crowd ringing in his ears. So he had had this is after his sermon on the mount. This is Matthew chapter 8. Then a leper appeared. And what do we know about lepers? We know that they were outcasts. They were unclean. People were not to talk to them.
Be around them.
Associate with them. They were not in any way to let them touch you physically. If they did, or even if you were a few feet from them, you became unclean also, you know, in the Jewish tradition. Lepers were a no-no. You don't hang out with lepers.
I'll keep that in mind.
Okay. Leprosy is an awful disease. It's a skin scabbing type nasty thing. A few years back in our culture, AIDS became almost like leprosy to so many people. And there's so many myths running around and so many lies and so many people feeling that if they shook hands with somebody with AIDS or if they, you know, whatever the case may be, that they could get it. And we know now that those are not true and all of that. But at that time when it was, the hype was up, Nathan, you know, you were in circles where you knew people that were scared for their lives because of this epidemic, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it was a frightening thing.
Yes.
Because the biggest thing you heard about it was anybody who got it died.
Died. Right. Right.
It was a death sentence.
Exactly. And leprosy was like that. Go ahead.
It's no longer a death sentence.
Right.
It's no longer considered a death sentence.
Right.
But still, there are still people today that don't know that.
Right. Yeah.
They don't know the full extent of AIDS or HIV.
Right.
They see it as a death sentence. They see it as a punishment from God, even.
Right. Exactly. Oh, yes.
You know.
And, well, and again, God doesn't have any AIDS in heaven, and he doesn't have any leprosy in heaven. God does not dole out leprosy, AIDS, HIV. Go ahead, Nan.
Well, I can kind of, you know, with the way that that they looked upon leprosy, and we're comparing it to the way people have viewed AIDS for many years. I was a secretary for the safety manager of Hillsborough County.
Okay.
Back in, I want to say 84, 85, AIDS was just starting to become known at that time. And I can remember where the department head over safety, risk management, all that kind of stuff. We had this gigantic meeting of how are we going to deal with this?
Right.
We don't want our people getting this. How are we going to, you know, and I remember just being in that meeting and being very uneducated on the subject, you know, and I was much younger than I am now. And, you know, and I just listened to all they had to say. But, I mean, they were almost, yeah, they were scared. They were scared, and they were trying to figure out how their safety guides were going to manage.
It was the main motivating factor.
And fear, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's the same way that leprosy was back in Jesus' day, that people were afraid of lepers. If they saw any coming towards them, they ran as fast as they could the other direction, which was similar to the AIDS epidemic, you know, a few years back. So in Matthew 8, 1, 2, then a leper appears and goes to his knees before Jesus praying. Now, this leper comes out of the crowd, stands in front of Jesus, falls down on his knees, begins to pray. Our human reaction, or the reaction of the crowd back then, would have been, get away from him, get away from him. You may catch that disease. Don't minister to him. You know, don't do anything, which is the case with a lot of people that, you know, especially in the most recent years, dealt with AIDS that way. But look at Jesus' reaction. Because the leper cries out, you don't see Jesus' bodyguards taking the leper away. You don't see that. You don't see Jesus saying, get away from me, you're a leper. You don't see that. The leper says, Master, if you want to, you can heal my body. I love that. Master, if you want to, you can heal my body. What we see faith right there, Nathan. I mean, if you want to, you can do it. You can do it. I mean, this guy, this leper, had faith. Talk to me, Nathan.
He had faith. He knew that God could do it, or Jesus could do it if Jesus wanted to.
Right.
If Jesus willed it.
Exactly. And see, that's something we've got to get settled in our hearts, that Jesus always does want to heal your body. There has been such a myth going on for so long that Jesus wants to heal certain people, but not others.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not like that. I mean, again, going back to the AIDS issue, I think a lot of religious churches and religious people thought that because AIDS seemed at that time to be related to homosexuality, that that was such a sin that people should just go ahead and die. And so they weren't, that it was their punishment. Mm-hmm. And all of that is a lie of the devil. All of it. Every bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to change our mindset. God wants to heal us. God does never, ever, ever, ever send disease and put it on us. We contract disease by exposure to germs, viruses. Sometimes our bodies are prone to heart disease. It's been passed down to us in our family. Our bodies are prone to cancer. We know now medically that cancer a lot of times has roots in bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness. So a lot of times emotional problems and emotional hang-ups and things that have not been dealt with are related to actually spawn. Yeah, they have physical outcomes. Exactly. Comment on that, Nathan, before we go to station ID in a minute.
Well, even doctors now will say that, you know, bitterness.
Yes.
And, you know, holding a grudge.
Amen.
And have an effect on your heart.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, can manifest itself in heart disease.
Amen.
And, man, you think about that. I mean, God told us that a long time ago.
Right. Yes.
You know,
yes.
Don't hold anything against your brother.
Right. You know? I mean, he set this up clear at the very beginning, back in the Old Testament. Let go of hurts. Forgive.
Yep.
Let it go. Don't hang on to it, because it'll be health and healing to your body if you let go. We've got to. Let me talk about this. Nathan, are you staying on or are you going?
I'll stay for a while.
Okay. All right. Dear ones, we're so glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. We're going to do our station ID in just a moment. But we want to remind you that our computer is up. If you want to comment, ask a question, weigh in on what we're talking about today, you can just shoot us an email now, pastor@beaconofhopeministries, that ends in IES.com. That's my email, Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I will be happy to respond to you. Nan will respond to you right here during the show. Nan is right here beside me, and Nathan on the phone, and they are trusted and faithful members of this radio team, and we are Beacon of Hope Ministries, station ID.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233BF Little Rock.
All right, and welcome every one of you to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. If you're just now joining us, we now start this show at 3 o'clock Tampa time every Sunday. We've gone an hour earlier, so it's 3 to 5, and if you've just now joined us, make note of that and start tuning in at 3 o'clock. Also, Nan mentioned it a moment ago, on our website, you can catch the old shows. A lot of them, tons of them, right, Nan? There's just tons
on
there.
Lots to choose
from.
We
have a lot of space on our GoDaddy server. And
you know, the cool thing, brother, it lists the date, but it lists the subject.
Right.
So you can kind of like, you know, it's like going through the index of a book. And
right.
You can just go through and see which subject that you may want to listen to one day or night and just go for it.
Yeah, and we intentionally are doing that now, and so that it is easier for people to, like, if they need something on healing, they can find a show on that very easily,
right,
just in the subject line. So we are in our sixth year on the radio, and we are excited about what God is doing. We do have weekly services. Now, temporarily, we are at the Executive Inn in Clearwater, 3580 Almerton, until we can find a new space. So we are excited about what God's doing. Nathan, is God answering prayer? Is he healing bodies in this day and age?
God is definitely answering prayer. He is definitely healing bodies. He is definitely leading us to the place where we are to go.
Amen. Amen.
Who would have guessed when God said he wants us to be outside of our box?
Right.
That we would be where we are now.
Right, I know.
But God sometimes we don't understand.
Right.
Where he's leading us or how he's leading us. But he is leading us.
And yes, several weeks ago he said that we were to go outside, going outside of our walls to meet people where they are, just as they are, with God's love. And now we are literally outside of the walls of the space we were renting. Nan, you want to comment on that?
It wasn't that. It was back to the bitterness.
Go ahead. Oh, back to the bitterness.
She's back to that.
We're talking about healing today, joined us. Go ahead.
And you can be healed from bitterness and anger and all that type of stuff. I was thinking, I have an aunt who's 87 years old. And she lives in Georgia. And I call her almost every day. And that's part of my morning routine. I give her a call. Well, it's interesting to hear her speak because, you know, she's kind of like the little religious person who kind of has been in church all their life, and they kind of, you know, they say that you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't hold grudge and you shouldn't this, but yet she does. And her mind's still sharp as a tack.
Right.
But it's interesting to hear her talk about people not letting go of things, and then she immediately starts back on with my uncle who just passed away, and his wife is so ridiculous at what she's doing. You know, and it's like sometimes I think people don't even realize what they're doing.
Right. How damaging their words are.
Yeah, I don't think they really realize, you know. Right. Maybe they don't really realize that they have a problem in that area. They're so busy living it, it's become such a part of them.
Yes.
They don't recognize that as a problem.
Right.
But it is a problem.
It is a problem.
To keep talking. I mean, she has multiple health issues going on. She has a bad heart. She has, you know, blood pressure issues, diabetes. You know, she has multiple health issues going on. And I can't help but believe that just part of that may just be some of that bitterness and anger and frustration and hatred that she's held onto all these years.
Right. Exactly. I agree with you on that. Nathan, talk to us about that. And while you are listening, audience, finding Psalm 143, and then we're going to do a song here. Do you have a comment on what she just said, Nathan?
Well, it's true. I mean, we've already talked about how emotional things that we hold on to, as far as anger, bitterness, resentfulness, all those kind of things that we hold on to have their place and manifestation in the physical realm.
Right, exactly.
They manifest themselves in illness.
Right.
We find ourselves ill because of it.
Exactly. And we're going to talk more about that after this song, but I agree with you entirely. Let's go to this song. This has become one of my favorites now. The Healing Has Begun by Matthew West.
Carry the weight of your secret for way too long, thinking if there is a place called forgiveness, you don't belong. Oh, but freedom can never be found behind those walls, so just let them fall, just let them fall. The healing has begun. Whoa, the healing has begun. How long has it been since you felt anything but shame? Child, lift up your eyes, 'cause mercy remembers your name. Tears you've been holding back, let them fall like rain. 'Cause today's the day. Yeah, today's the day. Oh, the healing has begun. Oh,
There's a world full of people dying from broken hearts, holding on to their guilt, thinking they fell too far. So don't be afraid to show them your beautiful scars, 'cause they're the proof. Yeah, you're the proof. Oh, the healing has begun. Oh, the healing has begun.
God, the healing has begun. The fact you're listening to this show today, whether on the website later on or right now live, God has begun a healing process in you. We claim it over you right now in the name of Jesus. Turn with us to Psalm 143, a Psalm of David. Listen to this prayer of mine, God. Pay attention to what I'm asking. Answer me. You're famous for your answers. Do what's right for me. I'm reading out of the Message Bible, but don't, please don't haul me into court. Not a person alive would be acquitted there. Verse 3 of Psalm 103. The enemy hunted me down. Dear ones, the devil is out to get you. He's out to lie to you. He's out to stop you from getting your healing today on this show. He is out to stop your blessings. David knew it. Psalm 103, verse 3. The enemy hunted me down. He kicked me and stomped me within an inch of my life. Boy, I have had those times in my life, Nan, where I felt like the devil was kicking me and stomping me. I mean, bad, you know, in my head, old tapes going over and over. You know, what could I have done different in that situation? Beating myself up, condemnation, you know, all that.
I've had that. Okay. I know all that.
Next line, Nathan. He put me in a black hole and he buried me like a corpse in the dungeon. I sat there in despair and my spirit draining away and my heart heavy like lead. Have you ever felt that way, Brother Nathan?
Yes, I have.
Times where we were in despair, where something had happened, where somebody had perpetrated something against us or lied about us or used us or maligned us or gossiped about us or rejected us, turned their back on us, whatever. There are times we feel that we are in despair and our spirit is draining away and our heart is heavy like lead. Wow. We've been there. We've been depressed. We've been discouraged. Nan, you've been there.
I have
betrayed. Have you been betrayed? Yeah. I've been betrayed so many times. It's a joke. Absolutely. I heard Graham Cook say the other day on a CD I was listening to, and the CD is Why Wounded Warriors, you know, why God needs wounded warriors, you know? And he said he got so many times that he's been betrayed in his life, especially by Christians, that he felt like his back was a colander. You know what that is?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
One of those where you drain spaghetti?
Drain spaghetti, yes.
You know, that because he had been stuck in the back, knifed in the back so many times. We all have had these experiences. Nathan talked to me about this. Times of feeling so beat up, bruised, and stabbed in the back, you know?
Well, there have been times.
Ever felt like a colander?
I had elevated people beyond this place where I should have elevated them. And it turned around. They stabbed me in the back,
right?
You know, and put me in my place, so
sure.
to speak.
sure. Yes, those of us in the ministry have had that happen more than the average guy in the pew, because it is part of our breaking process, brother. It is part of the process where we get to the end of ourselves and it's all about God.
All God.
And we have to learn to allow the stuff that the devil means for harm to do a work in us and change us. Nan wants to talk about that.
I have experienced with a particular pastor at a church, and his wife together kind of did that to me. And it was very devastating. You know, you work in a church under their leadership for years, and you do whatever they need to get done, and then to have happen what happened, and I had to do the circumstances. I made the decision that I had to leave immediately from that church.
Right.
And I did immediately. And we didn't go anywhere for my son. And I, we didn't go anywhere for like 6 months.
Right.
And I didn't know where to go. I was so hurt. I mean, I remember, I can to this day remember laying across my king size waterbed and crying out, God, why has this happened? And it hurt. And I cried.
Been there, done that.
And I didn't know. And I didn't understand. But here I am today. And, you know, it just.
But we have to go through these things. The older I get, the more I live, the more I realize that it is through the breaking processes where we are dying to self. I said to somebody recently, I've been dying a lot lately. And they said, what do you mean by that? I said, I tell you, I've been dying for a good couple years right now in a way that I have never died before. And by that, because Jesus says in John 12, unless a grain of wheat, you know, falls into the ground and dies, it can't. And he had to do the same. He had to go into the tomb 3 days, and then he came out a resurrected Lord. We have to die, Nathan, to the way we think people should behave, the way we think life should go, the way we think our life should go.
The way we think our lives should go.
Yep.
That's the big one.
It is. It's huge.
We have to die to the way we think things should be.
Yes, sir.
That's the big one.
It is the big one because when things don't go the way we think they should go, and circumstances happen that are painful and hurtful, and we experience rejection, we tend to so often let that be the picture of our life, and that.
Well, it breaks the harmony between us and God.
Yeah, we get all beat up over it. We get mad at God.
We think, God, what are you doing?
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. We don't allow it to be a blessing.
No.
Instead, we look at it as, you know?
Yep.
And why is this happening to me? And why is so-and-so so mean to me? And why? And why do God's people not do this or that or whatever? And the more...
And God's answer to us is nevertheless.
It is that. And
I'm with you.
And it is like, okay, so what? Your back feels like a colander.
Yeah.
So what? Because didn't Jesus, wasn't he bruised and beaten for us? Didn't he take our pain and our suffering in his body on the cross that we might be dead to sin and alive to righteousness, and by his stripes we are healed? Didn't he do that, and yet we expect to not suffer in this life? I mean, come on already. We have got to accept the things as they happen and believe that God is going to turn all things for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And that's Romans 8:28. And we got to hang our hat on that promise. And we got to believe. I'm preaching. I'm sorry, guys. I feel so strongly about this because I've been dying so much lately, Nathan. I have been dying so much that I'm finally getting it.
Yeah.
I've preached it, but I'm finally getting it.
You're finally getting it.
That I've got to let go of pride. I've got to let go of the way I want people to behave and treat me. I've got to let go of my expectations of others and of myself. My expectations of myself are so high sometimes. I've got to let go of resentments, hurts. People hurt us. People say they're going to do this or that in the ministry, and then they buckle under and they're gone. You know, we have got to, those of us that want to walk in healing, have got to forgive. Mm-hmm. Period. Forgiveness means they don't owe us anymore. They That's can't right. make it right. We have got to let go of the right. junk that the devil and people throw at us.
Yeah, I'm reminded, well, we used to have a blue line, and that was basically an altar line, and it was just a blue line across
now
the
Now we have a whole blue carpet.
Now we have a whole blue carpet. Isn't that cool what God did?
You know, it's all
over the place.
Yeah.
But I remember I ran across something about a month ago, and I had gone out, and I was off on medical leave, and I had gone out and was spending time with God on this particular day, and began to really pray, and he began to lead me. You know, what type of things do I need to take to the blue line? Well, I got to forgive my ex-husband for, I mean, because we didn't just like a simple divorce. It was nasty. It was nasty afterwards. It was years later, you know, just ongoing stuff.
There you go.
And a lot of people deal with that, I know. And I'd like to encourage them that they can make it through. And there is life on the other side of all that
me
stuff.
Yeah, me too. I've been on I'm on the other side of it. You know,
And I'm on the other side of it now.
It's all good.
He's 22.
It's all good.
It's all good. It's all good. But certain things, I mean, and he began to lead me.
Yeah.
And he began to show me some things that I needed to surrender that I didn't even realize. But that was making me, my behavior, that was making me who I was. These things, subconscious, I didn't realize. I mean, God literally led me, and I'm just sitting there typing away all this stuff. And then I pondered it later. And it was, of course, all true because it came from God. But, I mean, you know, you have to just, you know, there may be some things hanging around you that you don't even realize are hanging around you.
Absolutely.
Because you've suppressed it.
Yes.
Put it in the back of your mind, and it's not in the forefront of thinking about it. But, you know, there's times that we need to reach a point that, okay, I want to be healed.
Amen.
And if I want to be healed, I want to be healed of all this stuff. And we have talked on here about physical healing, but it just seems like we're pounding a lot on
emotional,
emotional healing,
aren't we, today? Yeah.
For some reason, you know.
That's okay. That's fine.
It's, you know, but I would encourage people to just spend time with God and pray. Lead me.
Yes, yes.
Help me see, because it may be something so suppressed back, you know. Now, of course, if there's something going on, they need a counselor.
Sure, and there's nothing wrong.
They need to get a counselor.
Counseling
too.
Is
absolutely
wonderful.
Absolutely.
But there are times that God can show you and remind you of an incident. This happened to me years ago, soon after my divorce, many, many years ago. And I was driving down the road one day, and God showed me a situation from my marriage. It was very hurtful. And I suddenly was replaying it in my mind and reliving it. I began to cry, began to weep because of the pain from that situation. And God said, are you ready to be healed of that?
Mm.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you say? No, I want to hang on to it for the rest of my life. And I began to say, okay, I choose to forgive for that. And I was sobbing. And then it was another scene. Now, it's a good thing I was on the road for a long time that day, because it was one scene after another where God began to like play it back like a movie I was watching.
Mm.
And I had to forgive each incident.
Mm.
Talk to me, Nathan.
Mm. Well, been there.
Been there?
Tears are running down my eyes right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God.
Because when God cleanses you like that,
right?
You know, first of all, He's preparing you. He's preparing you to minister to someone.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, because there's someone in your pathway that you're going to minister to along those very same lines.
Amen.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
It will happen.
It's going to happen. He's preparing your heart. He's preparing your heart to receive ministry from Him that you can give ministry to someone else.
So true. And if we don't allow the breaking process, that's part of this breaking process.
Yes, it is.
You know, if we, and I go back to Jesus' words again in John 12:24, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, you know, when you plant corn, which we do up on the farm in Indiana, my son and the family, when you plant all that corn, you know, it goes into the ground. What happens to it? Or a grain of wheat, it dies, you know? And then that process begins, and it begins to bring new life. And suddenly, eventually, you have, in Indiana, knee-high by the 4th of July, great big old corn stalk, and then all these corns coming off of that. But it starts with one kernel going into the ground and dying. We got to die, Nathan.
Exactly. We got to.
You know, we sing I Surrender All.
Yeah.
Do we mean that, really? Because surrendering is not just surrendering, okay, God, I'll go and do whatever you want me to do. But I think the hardest part of surrender is, Lord, I'll give up the unforgiveness on that issue. I will give up the resentment because of what so-and-so did to me. Lord, I'll let go of that memory, and I will give it to you and lay it at the cross and let you take it.
I give up my right to this.
Give up my right. Yes. Yes.
I give up my right.
Oh, Heal Me by Aaron Jeffrey while Nathan cries a few tears.
It's another good to see you Sunday morning. Oh, I hardly hear the words roll off my tongue. Looking in myself for signs of something that's long gone. Oh, I stumble through a verse that says you love me, as the voices echo, my thoughts drift away. And I close my eyes ashamed, I'm feeling nothing, and I pray, heal me, heal these eyes, heal this heart, heal my mind, breathe your breath of life, heal me, awake my soul. Give me back the joy of when I first believed. Heal me. Oh, I lose myself to one more day's indifference. When my eyes are everywhere but fixed on me, I don't have the strength to overcome this distance, but you do. Joy of when I first believed. Heal me.
Says it all. Heal me, Lord. Do a work in me. Oh, fantastic. We are in Psalm 143. Now I've said it wrong twice. 143 and living the good life here from Beacon of Hope Ministries. In about verse 6, I remembered the old days. I went over all you've done. This is David talking to God. I pondered the ways you've worked. I stretched out my hands to you, as thirsty for you as a desert thirsty for rain. Nathan, that's the way we have to become. We can go over those things in the past, and we have got to be so thirsty for God that he does a work in us and takes that betrayal or takes that rape or takes that awful thing that happened, and that somehow he makes beauty out of the ashes, which he promises to do in Isaiah 61. We have got to believe that God can and will do that, and we have to stretch out our hands to him and be thirsty for him to do something with the junk we bring him, don't you think?
I believe that. And also, I believe although God does not send these situations.
Right. He does not, no.
Often he is in them.
You know what? You're going to have to explain that, but I totally and completely agree with you. That's been my life experience. Because God doesn't make people act a certain way, right?
No, he doesn't make people behave in a way that's hurtful or harmful to you. He doesn't bring hurtful or harmful situations into your life. But you can find him in them.
Amen, brother. Bing, bing, bing.
In that way, he's helping you to grow.
Yes, yes.
Helping you to become more and more like him.
Yes. And so, in the midst of it, we see God. That's what you're saying, right?
Right, exactly.
If we never had a problem, we would never learn.
God could solve them.
That's right. I love the line of that song. Isn't that from Praise the Lord?
Yes. He can solve every problem.
Yes.
Believe me.
Yes.
I'm going to go now. So.
Okay. Nathan, it's been great. Thank you for being on. God bless you. And we will see you Wednesday night at Bible study.
Yes, we will.
All right.
God bless you all.
All right. Thank you. And that is so true, what Nathan just said. If we never have a problem, we never know that God can solve them. And so often we get so hung up with the injustices, the hurt, the pain, the times that we just feel like we've been so beat up by, a lot of times it's church people, the worst, you know, that we have been so beat up by family, friends, coworkers, church people, and we become resentful and full of hurt and frustration. And God says we have got to run to him and let him bring the healing that is needed. I'm in Psalm 143, verse 7. Hurry with your answer, God. I'm nearly at the end of my rope. Ever felt that way? I love the way David says that, because we have all felt that way at some point in our life. Hurry with your answer, God. I'm nearly at the end of my rope. The next line in the Message Bible, don't turn away. Don't ignore me. That's David pleading with God to pay attention to his situation. Don't turn away. Don't ignore me. That would be certain death. Okay? Don't, God, please answer me. Hear me. You may be feeling that very thing right now. Why don't you just say that with me? God, listen to me. Hear me. You know, don't turn away. Don't turn away. Don't ignore me. Okay? I'm nearly at the end of my rope. Hurry with your answer, God. And we do feel that way so often. Now, the next line, I love it in the Message Bible. It's probably about verse 8, if you're looking at translation that is other than the Message Bible. In the New American Standard, verse 8 of Psalm 143 says, let me hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in thee. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to thee I lift up my soul. Listen to this in the Message Bible. Psalm 143, verse 8. If you wake me each morning with the sound of your loving voice, I'll go to sleep each night, trusting in you. Point out the road I must travel. I'm all ears, all eyes before you. Save me from my enemies, God. You're my only hope. Teach me how to live to please you, because you're my God. Lead me by your blessed spirit into clear and level pasture land. In other words, God, I got to start my day with you. Man, this is a powerful passage. If you wake me each morning with the sound of your loving voice, I'll go to sleep each night trusting in you. It's like, talk to me in the morning. I love it when God awakens me and start. I rarely ever have to use an alarm clock, because God just wakes me up, or my dog Bailey. Does, of
Bailey,
course.
Yeah, Bailey does.
Bailey does. Yeah. But just the same, God uses Bailey.
Right.
And, you know, the thing is, then as I begin to wake up and listen to God and talk to him, it is so wonderful to start that way, the day that way.
It's kind of like a love affair with God.
It is,
I mean, you know, like, say you're married, and you get up about the same amount of time, start getting ready for work or whatever, you know, and kind words spoken between a husband and wife when they've gotten up, or a significant other, whatever, and how that just jump starts the day.
Yes.
I mean, you have a skip is a skip. I did this wrong one time, Connie. Correct me. A skip in your step.
Yeah.
A leap. Some, you know, where you're, yeah. you feel like you're on cloud nine.
Right.
Because of that. How much greater
right.
is it when we hear from the Lord?
Oh.
And in the morning and hear from him and commune with him and spend time with him. You know, if it is when you're getting ready, that it's,
yes.
it's okay. You don't have to necessarily just sit in your one chair and that's where you meet him.
Right.
If you have that and you have the time, great.
And if not, if sing not, in the shower.
See, I do, you know.
Oh, me
and,
too.
You know, that's and it's beautiful to start the day with the
I
Lord.
I love
like
starting out telling God how much I love him. That little chorus we do a lot, I love thee, Lord, and yes. I lift my voice. That I just love, you know, I love you, Lord, I lift my voice. I just, you know, we start the day that way. You know, God, I bless you. Lord, I love you. Lord, you're just so amazing. I wonder what you got in store for me today.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, it's just a beautiful way to start the day.
But, Nan, so many people start the day waking up mad at somebody, waking up going over the old tapes in their head, going over the old hurt that somebody has done to them. Going over the old embarrassment or the old anger, resentment, bitterness, and they play those tapes over and over again. What an awful way to start the day.
And it's not good for them health-wise,
no.
as we've already talked about. You know,
right.
but that is a terrible way to start the day.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's times that you may wake up and have a particular situation on your mind. I have.
Well, of course. But what do you do about that when it's right there on your mind?
You start praising the Lord. Just kind of push aside, say, God, help me deal with this and keep just commune with him. Like, you know, just commune with him. And he'll, you know, it's like I'd rather start my day spending time with him, talking with him and telling him how much I love him than to do it with baggage that you're carrying around. Start thinking about that
absolutely.
Baggage all the time.
When you were saying that, it reminded me of Philippians 4:8, and in the Message Bible it says, and Paul wrote these words to the church at Philippi, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true,
mm-hmm.
noble, reputable. Look that up in your King James, will you? I want to hear it. Philippians 4:8 in your King James. Reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst. You know, so many people, their cup for the day is half empty. It's never half full, you know. I've had clients say to me, well, I'm just a pessimist. So, and I'm just always suspicious. And I think, rah, 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 rah. And I'll say, wait a minute, you know, let's believe the best here, you know. Because Paul says here, believe the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Talk to me about that, Philippians 4:8 in the mess or in the King James.
Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, I'll just go through the words, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
That kind of nails it down, doesn't it?
Down.
You know, because Paul is giving us specific directions to make sure our mindset is in line with goodness, you know, whatsoever things are true and lovely and pure and all of that, think on those things. Don't be thinking on the resentments, the past hurts. Don't be dwelling on what so-and-so said to you and how they hurt you. Instead, be thinking about what you can do. In fact, the word says, think about what you can do to spur somebody else on to good behavior. In other words, be kind to them so that you are going to get that kindness back.
Well, verse 4 in King James Version is actually one of your favorite scriptures.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And, you know, if we can enter our day
right.
rejoicing.
Yes.
I tell you, I can tell a difference in my day. If I've flown through the place so fast getting ready for work that I haven't even taken time to spend with him, I can
right.
tell the difference.
Absolutely.
I mean, that, you know, you can spend the time with him on the way to work. Now you're in your car. Put on praise
it's so
music.
True.
Just turn off all music. You know, on the way here, I wound up just turning off my radio station and just started praying on the way
right.
here. You know,
right.
and you can spend that time with him in traffic.
A few days ago in my real estate career, I had started the day, didn't have time. The phone started ringing the minute I got to my desk, you know, This was 3 or 4 days ago, and it was just one situation after another that was difficult and frustrating and not working out. And after about an hour of that, I mean, it was just like one thing after another. I just stopped and I thought, okay, I'm not answering the phone again until I stop and pray and believe that God's going to work out these situations today. And from that moment on, when I took that time to stop and pray in the Spirit, quote the Word, my whole day turned around from that moment on. But the first hour and a half was awful, you know?
I had it one day this week, a situation happened with two of my teachers, and I was going to have to deal with both of them, and it became too much for me. Just what was happening with the one, it was just, and I just said, that's it. And I took a radio so they could still reach me, and I had a secretary take my phones because I always have to have coverage when I walk away, and I just said, that's it. And I went for a long walk on the property, went all the way to the back corner, you know. And while at the back corner, I remembered one time before I had gone there and sent in a prayer request and had contacted you. Remember?
Yes, I remember when you were in the back 40
back there, found all kind of stuff I didn't know we had back there. But when I got back to my desk after spending that time with God, I had clarity of mind. The one situation I knew what I wanted to do and wasn't sure if I should do that, or, you know, and I had clarity of mind, and I figured out how to deal with it. And actually, the way I dealt with it was the next morning. That way the emails wouldn't be too sharp or harsh or.
But something. Again, but God gave you the wisdom when you took the time to get alone with Him.
Yes.
And I think that when we just allow the devil to play havoc in our brains with past memories, with past hurts, with failures in our lives, how we failed in this relationship or failed in that, failed in this, or how we screwed this up or whatever, it goes from bad to worse. The devil does not play fair. He starts taking us down a path of condemnation where you know, Paul said, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When we go down that path of condemnation, it never ends well.
I'm one who, that has been a problem of mine.
Oh, well, good. Praise God. We're talking about it.
We're talking about it. Can you counsel me, Pastor?
Yes, I have for a long time.
But no, that has been a thing of mine that I've battled, you know. Talk about being able to replay things.
Right.
I got a great memory for replaying things. And I think a lot of people do.
Right.
You know, and like you say, the condemnation comes from Satan.
Absolutely.
And so when that comes against you, you know, you need to rebuke that. He's playing with your mind.
Right.
Which is a health issue.
Right.
That's a health issue when he's playing. You need to be healed from that.
Amen.
Healed from the feeling of condemnation.
Yes.
A health issue.
That's good. Yes. And we need to be healed from that condemnation.
Yes, we
need to learn how to fight it. And we need to resist it and walk in the healing. And here it is. God gives us each a free will. Okay? Mm-hmm. So when bad people do bad things to us, it's not that God's doing that. They have made conscious decisions to do those things. Okay? Mm-hmm. We forgive them. We let it go. They don't owe us anymore. They can't make it right. That's true forgiveness. Okay? But at the same time, we learn to release it. And when the devil comes to our minds with those same thoughts, that same memory, and we get mad, and we're like, I can't believe they did that to me. We've got to learn to fight that. Because the word says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I'm working on my fourth book right now. It's called Strength for the Fight. And we have got to get stronger, children of God, and we have got to learn to fight this junk that the devil throws at us, and we've got to want to be healed bad enough that we do the work it takes, which means when the devil is saying something to you, tell them what happened to you on the way to the radio station today, Nan, because look at how great and how anointed this show has been. So I think this is a good example for our listening audience.
Well, I was heading on the way to the radio show, and yeah, the radio playing, was just listening to some music, and all of a sudden, I knew it was Satan spoke to me. He said, you're not going to do well on the radio show today. You're not going to do well. You're not going to be able to talk. And I'm like, really? So I immediately, that's what I made reference to turning my music off earlier. I immediately turned off my music And I began praying. And I began praying in the Spirit. And then I remember back in Matthew, I think it's chapter 4 maybe or something, where Jesus was led away.
Yes,
and
yes.
And the three times that Satan tried to speak to him,
yes.
And he said, and his response in all of them was, "It is written." All
That's
three
right.
times, "It is written." So I start saying, "It is written, Satan." And then God would bring it. Right now, I couldn't even tell you what verses came. But at that time, the anointing was just on that. I said, "It is written, Satan," and I would come and vibe a Bible verse. "It is written, Satan," I would come. And then I was just praying. And I'm just like, it's like, showed him.
And look what a great show we've had. What an anointed show we've
right.
had today.
Right. And it was, I thought it was kind of just, if he would have just left me alone, it might not have been on my part as anointed, to be honest.
You know, because you had to fight.
I had to fight.
We have to fight.
We have to
we
fight.
We need strength for the fight. And I hear there's a great book coming out on this soon.
I heard that too. I hope I manage to get an autographed copy.
I'm sure you will.
All right.
So the point is, we all have free will.
Right.
And we can't control sometimes some of the awful things that happen to us or that have happened to us in our past. But we can control our response to those things on a daily basis. We can learn to fight. We can ask God for the strength to fight, and we can ask God to heal us of our hurt and all the resentments and the junk of the past. We can get healing, and we're going to do a song here and then minister to several of you. Don't hang up yet. Don't turn off your radio or your computer, because God is going to be doing some healing here in just a moment. And this song is "Heal Me" by Terry McCallum, and it is powerful. Get ready to get healed.
Constantly of miracles that take place in the worship atmosphere as His presence just sets upon us. He comes with healing in His wings. And right where you're at today, right where you're standing or sitting, if you need a touch from Him, I believe there is a healing anointing that He will release upon you even right now. So as we just sing this song a couple of times, would you just let faith arise within your soul, in your spirit, man? Ask God to provide for you divine health from heaven to your soul or your body or spirit today. Sing it with me. Oh, there are financial needs. There are so many different things represented here, Lord. We desire as your bride to be complete and whole, restored to your fullness, Lord, that you designed for us at Calvary. And so, Lord, yes, indeed, let the fullness of your life be restored to these people today. Father, I pray that there will be a quickening to mortal bodies here. As we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus, you are the healer. Oh, so come and heal me. Most High God, listen to your church crying out to you today. I need a brand new touch from you, my Lord.
Psalm 143, verses 11 and 12. Keep up your reputation, God. Give me life. In your justice, get me out of this trouble. In your great love, vanquish my enemies. You know, like fear, enemies of past hurt, resentment, anger. Make a clean sweep of those who harass me. And why? Because I'm your servant. I'm your servant. Heal me, God. Why? Because I'm your servant. I work for you. You're my God, and I'm your child. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring this listening audience before you right now, whether they listen live or later on. Lord, and the cry of our heart is that you reach down and heal people, because we're your servants, God. That's why. Because you have said that we can have healing for our bodies, healing for our minds, our emotions, the past hurts and the pain. Lord, your word says in Isaiah that you carried our pains and our sicknesses. You bore them away. You carried them away. And so, Lord, right now for those in our audience that are carrying past hurt, pain, rejection, resentment, or have physical illnesses in their body, Jesus, we know you came to this earth to heal us, not just physically, but we read it earlier in Matthew 9, to heal our bodies and healed our hurt and bruised lives. So Jesus, we claim right now in your precious name that people are being healed as these words and as this song is being played.
Divine health from heaven.
Oh, hallelujah. Be healed, shoulder, right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed, migraines, in Jesus' name. Somebody that's having a lot of problems with your inner ear, be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody that's having terrible sciatica pain down your leg from your hip. It's in your left leg. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody has a hard time walking. You're limping a lot. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody was so abused as a child that it's hard to give that, all that up and let it go and be healed. And God says, reach out right now in faith and be healed. Receive your healing right now. Forgive those that have hurt you and receive God's healing touch in your life.
Now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll just be.
God is healing. Oh, he's healing relationships.
There are physical needs, there are emotional needs.
Oh, some of you are having some real serious issues with relatives. God is working in those situations. Be assured, and healing is on the way. So just claim it and stand in faith, believing that the relationships that you desire to be healed are going to be healed. Reach out in faith and believe it right now. Don't just take it, but resist the devil and watch him flee from you.
Father, I pray that there will be a quickening to mortal bodies here.
Pastor, in my spirit, I felt like two different things. Someone dealing with heart condition, heart issue happening, and also someone with an ankle issue.
Okay, speak to it now.
We take authority over that in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would just begin to minister peace to that person with the heart condition. Just first minister peace.
Amen.
Just give them peace of mind and let them know that you're in charge, you're in control, and you will take care of that. And Father, the person with the ankle issue, that can certainly interfere with walking and mobility and getting where you need to go. And Father, I pray that you would just mend that ankle, bring it back together.
Amen.
The way that it's supposed to be.
Yes.
Whatever's wrong, you made the ankle, you can mend the ankle, and you can
yes.
bring it back to wholeness.
Yes.
And we praise your name, Father.
Praise God. Along that line, Nan, somebody's fighting plantar fasciitis in your foot. And God says, I want to heal that right now. Just believe me for it. Because the pain's going to leave you in Jesus' name.
Pastor, I feel like someone's really battling depression.
Okay.
Very severe.
Okay.
More than one. I speak to that depression in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no authority there. I speak to the people, resist that. Just resist that. Take authority over that in the power and the blood of the Jesus. Take authority over that depression in the name of Jesus. You don't need to walk around with that. You don't need to lay in bed all day with that. You need to get up and be about what you need to do. So speak to that depression and leave it behind you.
Amen. Amen. Somebody's got a stomach disorder that makes your digestion very difficult, causes you a lot of problems. God says, be healed right now. Take your healing in Jesus' name. Put your hand on your stomach, whoever you are, and claim that healing now for you, for yourself, in Jesus' name. Somebody out there, they're telling you you're going to have dialysis. In the name of Jesus, receive healing for your kidneys. Receive healing for your kidneys. In Jesus' name.
Let the fullness of your life now be.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we lift up these dear listeners, and we know that you're the healer.
Every week that we gather,
Nan and I have been healed many times. We know you're the healer. But some of our listeners may not know that. We stand against the fear and the doubt right now and the unbelief in the name of Jesus. And we speak faith into these lives. Let them understand that you are the healer. That's your name, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And that you came to this planet to show us the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is to heal us emotionally and physically. So Lord, I just believe right now that your healing power and your healing touch is spreading out across the airwaves, either live right now or later as people listen on our website. We claim it right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it and know that you're our healer. Listen to this song one more time and then we'll come back in a moment. Praise God. Receive it right now. Take it by faith. Some of you have faith for that pill. Let's have faith. that God, in his name, Jesus, can heal you this day. Praise God. Praise God.
Now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll just begin to move around this room.
Whoa, hallelujah. Thank you, God. It's been an interesting show, Nan. It didn't go anyway the way I thought it was going to go. I love the way God does that.
God's so
Do you have
cool.
a final word for our audience?
I just would like to just encourage specifically people with depression, because that's something that I have battled.
You battled, yes.
I have battled.
Yes.
And I just want to encourage them that they can make it. They can make it. I mean, I'm making it. God is no respecter of persons. They can make it. They just need to turn to him.
Yes.
Talk to friends, whatever they need to do. Seek counseling, whatever is necessary. But God can move through all those ways, but they need to fight it.
Amen.
They need to fight it, and that's what they need to do, and I want to encourage them to do that.
Amen. Claim
that
healing.
Get their healing.
Yes.
That's right.
You know, this has been a very anointed show on healing, physical and emotional. Go back and listen to it again. Listen to it again and again until you get these songs, mm-hmm. till you get the word down on the inside of you. It's been full of the word of God.
It's been full.
So we welcome you to visit our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and go to the radio shows and listen and learn and just let them be tools for your mm-hmm. growth in God. We also, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to any of our services. We are now temporarily located in the Executive Inn, 3580 Almerton Road. And as you face the building on the right, there's double doors right into the room where we are. And we welcome you Sunday mornings at 10:30, new time. Sunday mornings, 10:30, Wednesday night at 7. Prayer meeting starts at 6:15. Bring your Bible. Bring your dinner if you have coming from work on Wednesday night. That's great. Use our prayer line, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, and send in your requests, and they will be answered, and there will be a whole big old team of people praying. If you want to be a part of that prayer team, just write an email, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, and we'll put you on the team.
Pretty cool.
Thanks to Nathan Burton. What a wonderful keyboards player and singer he
he's
is.
So
and he sang a cappella today on the radio.
That's pretty cool.
And Nan Watson, you're always a joy, and you're just a blessing to this radio team. And this has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, and this has been Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. You're not far to Jesus, so reach out to him. You want to talk to me personally, feel free. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Facebook.com/Beacon of Hope Ministries. Look us up. Okay? God bless you. Have a great week. And tune in again next week for Living the Good Life. And if you need us, contact us. Prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Safely to his side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust him with your heart. It's not far. 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 From here to Jesus. It's not far.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233 BF Little Rock.